Hello and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we are on day three of our lifestyle article, and back in the studio I have Amanda and Linda. Welcome, panelists.
Hello,
hi.
Brandon.
Well, we've been talking about sleep, which is something that we can all relate to, and really a lack of sleep and what to do if you've had a bad night's sleep. And we actually covered 9 different tips, so we're going to do a quick review. Today we're going to be talking about brain food. As I mentioned at the beginning, what are you feeding your brain? But before we do that, let's actually go back and look at what we've discussed the past couple of days. And I want to ask our panelists, can you share a tip or two that you would like to remind our listeners of, Amanda?
Yeah, I would like to just say that if you use natural daylight or sunlight first thing in the morning, like maybe opening your curtains just that little bit to allow the natural light to come in, it will really help you to wake up a lot better. You won't feel as sluggish, and it'll be easier to move. And I would also say, get in some exercise. If it's just doing a little bit of a walk, maybe you can walk to work if you're not too far away, of course, or just even a little bit of a dance around your living room, whatever it is, just to get the blood circulating so that you'll feel a lot better to tackle the things you do need to do in your day.
You know, even just taking the stairs at your in your apartment building or at work could be something to think about.
Right.
All
right. You don't really have to think about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would remind listeners to not skip breakfast. Breakfast is important in the morning. It helps you to have energy maybe that you know would have lost from not having enough sleep. So it also tells your body that it's time to, you know, wake up and be moving and to be ready for the day. So definitely make sure you eat breakfast and eat a healthy breakfast, right? We said that donuts and French fries don't count.
All right, and we also talked about positive thinking. Tip number 3, avoid dwelling on it. We don't want to dwell on the fact that we are so tired and focus on that so much, but we want to choose to have a good attitude in spite of our state of being tired. Also, what about that caffeine? It's easy to want to just add an extra cup of coffee to your day, but be careful with that. You don't want to create a bad habit. It can give you the jitters, meaning that you'll just have kind of this uncontrollable feeling inside, and that's not fun. So try not to drink too much caffeine, even though you're tired. Maybe, as Amanda said, try out some exercise instead. All right, well, today we are moving on to brain food. In our title, it says brain food, what to eat at any age to fend off Alzheimer's and dementia. Let's talk about that a little bit. That phrase, fend off, Amanda.
Yeah, fend off just means to try to prevent something from happening. You know, maybe if something is coming at you, you try to fend it off. Oftentimes, you know, if there's like a dog attack, you try to fend off the dog, try to prevent it from hurting you. There's many different ways we can use that word.
Okay, and then we have 2 words that we see, I think, often in Advance Magazine, Alzheimer's and dementia. And they are somewhat related. Alzheimer's is actually a form of dementia. Can you tell us a little bit more about these, Linda?
Well, Alzheimer's is a degenerative disease of the brain. So it causes you to lose your mental capacity. And, well, dementia can be a more general term, but often people who have Alzheimer's, they have dementia as well. So they have a loss of cognitive functions like memory or perception or awareness. But dementia can also be due to brain injury. But here we're talking about dementia that would happen with old age or just naturally. So these are things that you can eat to fend Alzheimer's and dementia off.
Which I don't know about you listeners, but that makes me want to listen, want to find out what foods I should be eating because this, you know, Alzheimer's, dementia, that can affect a lot of people. And so it's just one more reason to eat healthy foods. And let's find out today what some of those foods are. Open your magazines to page 18 and we'll have our first reading for today.
Brain food. What to eat at any age to fend off Alzheimer's and dementia. UC Davis nutrition expert Liz Applegate wants us to think about exactly what we're shoveling down our throats. Not just to lose weight, but to protect our brains. Brain food is real and it really does matter, says Applegate, an author, professor, and director of sports nutrition at UC Davis. She's an advocate of the MIND diet, a combination of two long-studied diets that reduce the risk of heart disease and type 2 diabetes. We talked with her recently about so-called brain foods.
Okay, so we meet a UC Davis nutrition expert. UC Davis is University of California. And this expert is Liz Applegate. And what does she want us to think about, Amanda?
She wants us to think about exactly what we're shoveling down our throats. Now, that sounds pretty rough, you know, because when we think of shoveling something down, we're talking about putting large quantities in your mouth quickly. So perhaps you're in a hurry.
Yes.
You know, we talked about breakfast yesterday. Maybe you're in a hurry to get to work, so you shovel down your breakfast.
Yeah.
Or, in, you know, you're rushing to a meeting, you shovel down your lunch. But here, basically, she wants to know what kind of food we're eating.
Right, and so shoveling down, that's just an informal way of saying, like, eating really quickly, which we can be accustomed to in the mornings, especially. We talked about yesterday, you know, don't skip breakfast, but we may grab something very quickly and shovel it down.
But try not to do that.
Yes.
Yeah. Try not to shovel down your food.
It's not good for you, right, to do that. And then we talk about, you know, she says not just to lose weight, but to protect our brains. And so what is she talking about here?
All right, so a lot of people, they pay attention to what they're eating because they want to lose weight, all right, to cut down maybe on amount of fat or calories they put in their bodies. But we should also pay attention to what we're eating to protect our brains, because whatever we eat, that affects how our brain works.
Right. Oftentimes, people can be so focused on weight loss, but even if you don't need to lose weight, it's still important to eat healthy foods. And so I think we need to, you know, get away from that. I know it's easy for some people to say, well, but at the same time, we need to think about just eating healthy, not only just losing weight, because it can affect other parts of our body, and including our heart, you know, depending on what we eat, and of course our brains. So what do we learn? What does Applegate tell us here about brain food?
She says brain food is real and it really does matter, because, you know, we talked about, you talked about worrying about losing weight. You know, we think about food as energy. Right. And when we think about energy, we think about the rest of our body, but we don't often think about what we're eating being energy also for our brain. Right. So here she's saying it is real. We need to take it seriously and it does actually matter.
Okay. And Liz Applegate, she's not only a nutrition expert, but she's also an author, a professor, and director of sports nutrition at UC Davis. And she's something else. She's an advocate
of the MIND diet, which is a combination of two long-studied diets that reduce the risk of heart disease and type 2 diabetes.
Okay, and we'll talk more about the MIND diet in just a few minutes, but that is, we get a brief description there. And then we have type 2 diabetes. We also, this month, talked about type 1 diabetes, which is genetic, is involved with genetics. Type 2 can also be related to genes, but more people have type 2 diabetes, and it can be controlled. For example, if you lose weight and so forth, that might help you to where you, maybe you don't have that anymore, at least help you, you know, control that better. Whereas type 1 diabetes is, I think, much more serious in the sense that you can't really control that by just losing weight and so forth. But we talked with her recently, it says, about so-called brain foods. Of course, the we there, they're talking about the Sacramento Bee. That's where this article is from. And so we're going to do a Q&A with Miss Liz Applegate and find out more information from her. Let's see what she says in our next reading for today.
Here are some excerpts. Question: Are there really brain foods that help fend off Alzheimer's or dementia? Answer: The brain is like any other organ that is susceptible to foods that can protect against oxidation damage. Think of oxidation like a fire getting started. These good foods act like little tiny fire extinguishers that help put out those fires that otherwise would cause damage, leading to loss of brain function. There is a 53% lower risk of Alzheimer's if you follow the MIND diet. See sidebar. It's eating a diet that provides an array of antioxidant compounds and omega-3 fats, and avoiding certain foods that may accelerate cognitive decline, like fried foods.
Okay, so the Sacramento Bee, that's where this article came from, and they're doing an interview with expert, nutrition expert, Liz Applegate, and they have some excerpts. And that just means it's not the whole interview, right, Linda?
Right, it's just a portion that was taken from the interview.
And it's a Q&A session, and what is the first question, Amanda?
Are there really brain foods that help fend off Alzheimer's or dementia?
Okay, we already talked about that idea of fending something off, and so what are the brain foods? Do they really exist? And what is the answer?
According to her, yes. And she says that the brain is like any other organ. It's susceptible to to foods that can protect against oxidation damage. And I think we've talked about oxidation before. The technical definition is when atoms are stripped of electrons. But here they have an example, a metaphor of what oxidation is like. It's like a fire getting started. And so the good foods, right, the foods that have these antioxidants in them, they act like tiny fire extinguishers to put out the fire, which would otherwise cause damage and lead to brain function loss.
Okay, so there's a lot there to think about. And first of all, it says there that the brain is like any other organ, and it's susceptible to foods that can protect against oxidation. That word susceptible meaning what exactly?
That it's vulnerable, mm-hmm. that it could be open to certain things happening to it that are not good for it.
Okay, and so we don't often think about the brain. We may think about the heart and so forth, what foods we should eat to protect our hearts, to keep it in good shape. And we think about exercising and so forth to keep our hearts in good shape. But here we are talking about the brains. And it's this interesting idea of oxidation and thinking of it like a fire getting started. And these good foods are coming in, and they're like little extinguishers. Now, a fire extinguisher, if you have it in a building, it's red, and you use that to put a fire out. And so that's something good to think about. Wow, this food that I'm eating can actually, help my brain and kind of put out these little fires, right? And hopefully help my brain to function better and prevent, damage, right, and a loss of brain function. And what do we learn about this Alzheimer's and 53% lower risk of it? What do they say here, Amanda?
Well, they say that there is 53% lower risk of Alzheimer's if you follow the MIND diet, which we have described in our sidebar.
Okay, yes, we saw this earlier, the MIND diet. You may still be wondering what exactly that is, and we have that there in the sidebar. It's essentially a combination of two healthful food plans, the Mediterranean diet, and we get a description of that. What is in the Mediterranean diet, Linda?
Well, it contains a lot of vegetables, lean meat, and olive oil.
Okay, that sounds very healthy. And then it also has, it includes the DASH diet, right? And so it's combining this Mediterranean diet and the DASH diet, right? And what is the DASH diet?
Well, it's similar to the Mediterranean diet, but because they are wanting to decrease high blood pressure with the DASH diet, it has reduced salt to prevent hypertension.
And hypertension is similar to high blood pressure or involves
that,
is that
yeah.
right?
Yeah, it's similar to high blood pressure.
Okay, and so get an idea of what this diet exactly is. And then we continue on here in our article. It's eating a diet that provides an array of antioxidant compounds. An array of something means that you have, you know, much to choose from. There are many options.
Right, a variety. So there's a variety of antioxidant compounds and omega-3 fats, and avoiding certain foods that may accelerate cognitive decline, like fried food.
Okay, now, omega-3 fats, I know that that's good for you, but why, Amanda?
Well, omega-3 fats are the good fats that we need for our body. And so there are good fats and bad fats, to keep it simple. So omega-3 are good fats, and they're used to help with muscle, with your tissue, connective tissue in the body. They help build up these parts of your body. So they're really important. That's why you shouldn't remove all fat from your diet. But omega-3 can be found in things like salmon, in fish, and mostly in salmon and fish.
Okay, and so we talked about this oxidation damage, and then we want to eat antioxidant compounds, right, or foods with antioxidants in it. And that, if I'm understanding this correctly, is that idea of putting out those fires, right? The antioxidant,
mm-hmm.
putting out the fire.
So they're the ones that have the tiny fire extinguishers,
yes.
putting out the fire. Exactly.
So you'll sometimes see that on a label of some product. You know, it has antioxidants, and that's meant to be good, right? And so there's a lot to think about here with these diets, and we have here that, you want to avoid certain foods that may accelerate cognitive decline. Accelerate means to speed up. I think of a car, you know, and you want to accelerate, you want to go faster, right? And so, you don't want to speed up that cognitive decline. You want to slow it down. And so something you do not want to eat, fried foods. No surprise, right, Linda?
Right. So that fried chicken, those fried donuts, french fries. No, you know they're not good for
yes,
you.
Yes, I think I already knew for other reasons. Okay. Well, we have one more question, actually, that's going to be asked here in this interview. Let's find out what that is in our last reading.
Question. The MIND diet is lots of leafy greens, vegetables, nuts, and berries, but limits red meat, butter, cheese, sweets, and fried food. How does that translate into reducing the risk of Alzheimer's? Answer. We know that people with Alzheimer's and dementia have very similar characteristics to people with type 2 diabetes. Over years and years, if your body is insulin resistant, those high blood sugar levels cause damage to linings of blood vessels and make them more prone to gunk building up, such as the amyloid or plaque that we see in brain or heart disease. This type of eating can slow the inevitable cognitive decline of aging. We don't know how to fix Alzheimer's. The only thing we can do is modify the risks.
All right, so the MIND diet, we get more information about that. It contains leafy greens, vegetables, nuts, and berries. Are you getting hungry, panelists?
Yes.
But it limits some things, Amanda.
Yeah, it limits red meat, Brandon. That means no barbecue.
Ooh, that's tough.
There's a few things, especially dairy food like butter and cheese. And then our sweet stuff, like sweets, so that's your candies. And then fried food, like your takeaways, your fried chicken, that kind of thing.
All right. Well, that's not easy to do, but it will help us in the long run. So we want to make sure we eat those leafy greens and vegetables and nuts and berries and so forth. Okay, so how does that translate into reducing the risk of Alzheimer's? And so that's an important question. And what do we learn next?
Well, people with Alzheimer's and dementia, they have similar characteristics to people with type 2 diabetes. So over years and years, your body is resistant to insulin, and those high blood sugar levels cause damage to the lining of your blood vessels. And so it makes them more prone to gunk building up. And when we say gunk, that's just accumulation of stuff.
Okay.
And they give some examples here. Amyloid or plaque, which is basically deposits of buildup.
Okay, wow. Got a little technical there, but it is good to know what's going on. So we have type 2 diabetes, which we already talked about. So actually people who have Alzheimer's and dementia, they have similar characteristics to those with type 2 diabetes. I did not know that, but that's what we learn here. And so over time, your body, if your body is insulin resistant, that's the whole idea with diabetes, right? It's an issue of insulin.
Right. It means that your body can't make the insulin. And insulin is needed because insulin breaks down your food into more simple sugars that it can use for energy.
Right. And if you have diabetes, you're not producing enough of that?
Yeah. So then you have to introduce it, usually through injections or could be through tablets if your diabetes is not too bad. Then those things will introduce the insulin into your bloodstream to be able to do that job.
Okay, so over time, if your body is insulin resistant, those high blood sugar levels, they actually do some damage. They cause this damage to the linings of blood vessels. And then we get into what Linda was talking about, this gunk that builds up. And so gunk is just the sticky residue. So you can imagine, I don't know, something really dirty, and it's just a lot of junk or gunk building up, and we get examples of that with plaque and so forth. This can happen in brain disease or heart disease, and so just kind of paints a picture of what can go on inside of us. We can't see it, but we do need to be aware of what is happening. And what is, we learn next, this type of eating can actually do what?
Can slow down this inevitable cognitive decline of aging. But we don't know how to fix Alzheimer's, but we can slow it down or fend it off.
Okay, so we see here that we're talking about this MIND diet, right? Eating the leafy greens and so forth. This type of eating can slow down the cognitive decline. And it says it's inevitable. You know, when we get older, things are going to slow down, right? So it's inevitable. It will happen, but maybe you can keep it from happening so soon. And then what does she say here at the end?
She says the only thing that we can do is modify the risks. And that's what we mean at the beginning when it says that eating these kinds of foods will fend off Alzheimer's, right? Because mm-hmm. we can't completely get rid of it. We don't know if we can get rid of it. That's why it says we don't know how to fix it, but we know how to modify the risks of getting it.
All right. Make it maybe not so risky, or maybe we will have a better chance of fending it off, putting it off to a later time, right? And so there's a lot that we've covered, you know, the past few days. We talked about a bad night's sleep and how to kind of overcome that. The next day, we shared many tips with you, and then today we talked about what foods to eat. And I just wanted to ask our panelists, you know, when you try to eat healthy, I know it's hard to always eat healthy, but do you notice, I guess, a difference, of course, when you eat healthy versus when you eat unhealthy? What are some of the positive changes that you see in your on that particular day, maybe?
Well, I think I eat pretty healthy most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I do notice when I eat unhealthily, like I eat like a lot of fried stuff or fatty stuff, I'll end up feeling sluggish or even like, yeah, not having as much energy. And I just, yeah, it just makes me feel unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just
okay.
Gives me that overall feeling.
All right. How about you, Amanda?
Yeah, I would say I have a similar experience. If I eat like either sugary food
mm-hmm.
or, you know, like fast food, then afterwards I don't feel so good.
Yes.
But if I eat, you know, like leafy greens, all these things that they're talking about here, then I feel lighter. actually. You know, I feel maybe a bit more clear. You know, I don't need to feel like I need to take a nap after lunch.
And you don't get that sugar rush that we talked about earlier. You're on that sugar high and you feel maybe great for a few minutes or whatever, maybe an hour, and then you begin to crash and you feel worse than before you had the sugar. So might as well just try to eat healthy. I think the important thing to remember with all of this is it's a lifestyle. This is a lifestyle article. You want to make it a part of your lifestyle, whether it's going to bed at a certain time at night. You know, we have these tips if you didn't get a good night's rest, but even better than that, of course, is coming up with a plan, of course, to have a certain time to go to sleep every night, if that's possible. And then what are you eating? Come up with a plan that works, that you'll actually use. So those are some things that we want to leave you with. We thank you for joining us this month for our lifestyle article, and we hope you will join us again next time here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, this is Brandon,
Linda,
and Amanda
saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.